We know James was apostle of works. Old Peter was apostle of judgment. But old John, he is apostle of love. Now, by nature, he wasn't an apostle of love. It says, you know, in the Bible that he was son of thunder, call down lightning. But after experience with Jesus Christ, what a difference it makes, don't it? He was apostle of love. John 3:16, he wrote, God so loved the world. Let's read these verses of Scripture tonight, 17 through 21. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God loved his brother also. Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this love book, the Word of God, to each and every one of us, O God, that we might read this and know that you love us. And we thank you so much, O God, that you do love us, and you prove that on Calvary's cross. Father, we just hope and pray, God, that each one of us can tell someone else how much that you do love them, that our love might be able to be spread to someone else, that we might tell them about the cross of Calvary, how that you stretched out your arms and how that you was lifted up, and you do love them. And how, Lord, that you loved us so much that we can't even understand your love. It's such a great love, Lord, that our minds cannot comprehend the width and the depth and the height of your love. But you tried to explain it to us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit and through your word, that how much that you love us and care for us. And even though we're not lovable so many times, that you still love us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, what you did on Calvary's cross, because you was able to forgive us because you did love us so much and died for us. Father, we need forgiveness tonight. Through forgiveness, Lord, we experience that love that you have for mankind. Through that shed blood was dropped on that ground. And Father, how you give up your life. And we thank you and praise you here this night for that great love. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen. Love is the thermostat that takes our spiritual temperature. If you was put on trial, you heard it many times, for being a Christian, love would be the witness that would convict you of being a Christian. It says, you know, if we don't love our brethren, how can we love God? So love is really that thermostat that really tells us if we really saved or not. As I told you at the beginning of this book, and we studied it every night for Wednesday for several weeks, it's really a test. A lot of people say, Lord, Lord, but as the Word of God says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's a test for all of us to know the depth of our love for Jesus Christ, because he loved us. God created this world out of motive of love. He created you and I so he could love us. Can you imagine? So we're so unlovable. He created a heaven that we'd have a place that we might stay with each other and love each other for all eternity. God created hell out of the motive of love. Think about that. Because hell is a place that God created for the devil and his angels. And it's a place that the children of God won't have to ever worry about going. And it's a place that we know that it'll separate us from all the rebellion that's against God. That place called hell. So as I think about this and think of what God has done for me when I was reading these verses of scriptures, can you imagine what a gift that Jesus Christ has given you? here tonight is a, anyone can explain why God has been so good to you. I cannot explain why God has been so good to me. Would you stand up, please, and tell me why God has been so good to you? I don't believe we can explain it in words. I don't believe we know why, but God has been so good. Only thing I can realize, I realize it's not because of anything that I have done or anything that you have done. Because He loves us. It's what He done because He loves us so. We could really get in our hearts how God loved us. You know, you will never be the same again. From the time that you were saved, that was just the beginning of this growing in love, growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you grow in knowledge, you grow in love. If we can grow in love, we would never be the same. Even here this night, I don't care what step of your spirituality you're in this hour, but if you could understand and get this how very much He loves us, it would even change your heart tonight. To try to comprehend. You know, that's what Jesus does. From time that you come into this world to the time He calls you out of this world, He begins to talk to you through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God how much He loves you before you're saved. Runs you down in our old sinful ways, knocks on our door. If you'll open the door, He says, I'll come in. And He comes into our heart and He saved us. But you don't think He quits then, does He? He says, that which I have started a good work in you, He says, I'll finish it to the day. That's the day we leave out of this old world. Well, God's not through with us, amen. We're here tonight, and He still loves us. First thing we see is love is the completes our life. It completes our life. Because you see, a life is never complete until you experience the love of Jesus Christ. There's many a person in this world, his life is not complete because they have not experienced the love of Jesus Christ in their heart. And they never will be. Why? Because God made them. Soul, body, and spirit. A triune being, you and I. Same as God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that triangle love that He made and put in our heart, this round world will never fit in that triune heart. And a person is never complete till they experience the type of love through the God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it says there in verse 17 again, herein is love made perfect. Now, it's made perfect. It's pictured that the love of God is a companion walking inside of us. You have your love companion with you tonight. It's a picture of God is walking with us. Here is love made complete because you got a companion that walks with you from the time that you were saved. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know when Jesus Christ says, I go away, but I won't leave you comfort. I'll send the comfort to you, and I must go away. So Jesus Christ went away in the body. He is resurrected, but He sent the Holy Spirit back. That He says, you know, that comforter, companion. And that companion to be with us all through life. All through life, you got somebody, you got a companion to go with you all through life. And this love that He has given us, it gives us assurance for out there in the future. The one thing maybe hinders our love, and that is, you know, we can't comprehend because of the fear we have concerning out there in the future. I think all of us have this way. Because it says there's going to be a day of judgment. And we think about this. This thought could really shake you up as you think about this, that one day they're going to be a reckoning for all of us. They're going to be a judgment day. And you won't be turning around and say, my wife or my husband or somebody else, look at him, look at she, because you'll be standing before God and it's going to be your life from the time that you are saved. Now, you won't be there at judgment seat because of your sin, because that's took care of 2,000 years ago. But the life that you've lived for Jesus Christ, the life you didn't live for Jesus Christ. And all ever thought, because Hebrews 9:27 says, now it's appointed a man, wants the man to die, we're going to die unless Jesus Christ comes back. But see, a lot of people say, I ain't scared of death, but how about the judgment? Are there a certain fear, looking back over your life, the thoughts, you know, a certain fear, because after this it says the judgment. So this perfect love assures us that out there in the future, all the injustice, of this world. One day it's going to give an account. Everybody will. You look at the injustice that you see in this world going on right now. But they're going to be accounting day one time for these people. 17 says that we may have boldness in that day of judgment. Boldness. We have boldness in that day of judgment. That means confidence. Confidence. Love gives us confidence in the day of judgment. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, and you are too, but this love that he loves us now, it gives us confidence. Boldness means confidence, and also it means there a freedom of speech. We'll have a freedom of speech. Confidence. Matthew 12 and 36, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those are saved. We won't have to worry about being judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to go into heaven or not. That was judged 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ when you accepted him by faith. But how about these idle words? Yeah, I often heard, you know, when you go up the gates of heaven, whoever may be there to let you in, Jesus Christ, maybe God sitting on the throne, what right do you have to enter into my heaven, he might say. Yeah, you're going to stand there. What right tonight do you have to enter into God's heaven? What right? You think about that. What right do you have? Would you have anything to say? The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible has convicted us that we are all sinners. And also the Bible says every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God at the judgment. But it says we now, this love that we have, we may have boldness. That means that we have something to say. Because, see, we're not talking about great white throne judgment whenever the lost people be judged. But our judgment, we'll have that love. We'll have something to say. What would you say? Have you ever thought about that? What you going to have to say? It says we'll have boldness. We'll have something to say. Romans 5 and 8, as we think about this. But God commands his love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's one thing we'll have to say. Amen. That's right. That's one thing we'll have to say. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Y'all ever heard that song? Very deeply stained within, and I seek to rise no more. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Help me, Lord, from the waters lifted me. What's the word say? Now safe am I. Why? Because love lifted me. I'll have something to say. I'll have something to say. It won't be about me, what I've done. But I'll have something to say, what Christ has done for me. See, your life is not complete until you have this testimony of what Christ has done for you. Everybody here can share their testimony because Christ lifted you, did he not? Didn't he lift you out of that miry clay? You have a testimony. And your life will not be complete until you have this testimony. And knowing that God has lifted you, not what you've done. And you'll love the brethren, he says. Love gives us acceptance also in this present we're living in, because it says in verse 17 again, as he is, so are we in this world. That gives us, you know, acceptance in the present. Right now, we identify with Jesus Christ in this world. Whenever God sees us, he sees us through his son, Jesus Christ, his shed blood on Calvary's cross. I'm glad he don't look at me and see me and all my failures and sin. I'm saved, but he sees me through the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And you remember in the Old Testament, that tabernacle, the holies of holies, the mercy seat, solid slab of gold, and the holies of holies, and the priests once a year carry blood in their sprinkling on that holy seat, under that holy seat, the Ark of the Covenant with the broken laws. And see, whenever the cherubim's looking down upon it, that blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat. He did not see the broken laws that the nation of Israel broke. And that mercy seat called the same thing today for you and I is Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. And God looks down. He did not see our broken law, how we have failed in sin, but he sees his son's blood he shed on Calvary's cross, and he don't see the brokenness of all sin and failures in our life. I'll have something to say, what Jesus Christ has done for me. But also, we identify with him, but also we represent him in this world today. As Romans says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit of God. You didn't know how to love until Jesus Christ saved you. Everywhere you go, everything we do, we can share this love of Jesus Christ. As he is in the world, we also are in the world. There have been a lot of surveys taken trying to build churches and asking people, why really do people come to church? You know what? The overwhelming survey answer always was by people who personally invited someone else for them to come to church. Have all types of ways to get people to come to church to hear the word of God. But the number one way is for you to go tell someone else about Jesus Christ. For you to give them an invitation to be here Sunday. That's the way more and more people come to know Jesus Christ than any other way and come to church. God's love is completed when we share our love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves us so very, very much. But love also conquers fear. It completes our life, but it conquers fear. In verse 18, it also says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. I studied that verse of Scripture for a long, long time this week. Four times it's mentioned fear in that verse of Scriptures. Fear, a dread, anxiety. Do every one of us have fear? Fear has been around a long time. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God used to walk with them in the cool of the day. But you could come back to the Garden of Eden, and they went and hid from me. And they said, why did you hide from me? Well, he said, we feared. They've been fear around a long time since the Garden of Eden. We feared God, and we went and hid. You know, everybody has fear. Little boys and girls, you know, they have fear. Sometimes fear at night. You know, they have fear of water. Little boys and girls have fear of water. Maybe fear of bad weather. Scary things out your window. You ever been asleep at night and you hear something outside your window and you see a shadow move and you think it's a boogeyman? Next morning, just no tree limb shaking. We have fear. Kids have fear. You ever had fear? You ever went to a dentist and had fear? Well, he says, you're going to have a tooth worked on. He comes out with a shot about that long. And he sticks it right in your eye. And then he goes grinding on you. You ever had a fear of a dentist? Yeah, you probably have had fear of a dentist. They all types of fear, I'm telling you. You know, a lot of people fear heights. I don't want to go very high. People fear heights. Fear closed-in places. They just fear of failure. You know, we have a fear of terminal disease that we may catch in life. And while I was preparing this, fear of going to the hospital. And everybody ever been put to sleep? Went to the hospital and been put to sleep? You ever had a little fear? Tell me now, have you ever had a little fear when you went in there? Yeah. A little fear. Lord, what are you talking about this for? I got to go to the hospital tomorrow. A little fear. Fear of death. We all have a little fear of death, do we not? But then I think the greatest fear is that fear of judgment. It's a fear of God. I picture this of a person that's lost and the fear of death is facing them. You see, I really do believe the Word of God teaches. When we get ready to go, when God comes after us, they're going to be such an amazing love to embrace you with. You ain't going to dread leaving. You're going to be ready. But you think about that person. Now, I just think about a person knowing he's fixing to die. Who would a person know he's going? Well, a person on death row, and his date's been set. Fixing to go to electric chair or legal injection, whatever it might be. He's going to die at a certain day. 2 days, one day, this is a day, waiting for that day of execution and that fear of dying, a lost person, don't know Jesus. This person is fixed to go to death row and he's fixed to die and he's never encountered the love of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine someone is fixing to go out of this world, knowing he's fixing to go out of this world, and never had the experience of the saving spirits of Jesus Christ? The fear. Don't tell me he won't have fear. That person's going to be, he's going to have fear. Fear of dying, and then that fear of God. But then, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, we know that God loves us, and it's not going to eliminate all our fear, but it's a process going on. As I said, you start being put to sleep, and you fix to go in for an operation, and they say it's going to be minor. It ain't minor when they mess with me. It's major, right? It's major when they start messing with me. It's minor when you get messing with you. It's just minor, but it's major with me, and you fix to get put to sleep. You say you have a little fear, but yet, you know, it's a process of eliminating these fears in our life. And as we grow of knowledge, we have less and less fear. Because I can tell you, God can keep you alive here in this church just as good as he could on a hospital bed somewhere or another. Y'all believe that? Well, how come we fear then when we go in there? Well, we just haven't experienced all that love we need to experience. But it's growing on us. But a lost person can have nothing basically to face but fear. Matthew 25 and 46. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Luke 16 and 24, remember the rich man Lazarus, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames. You see, a lost person don't have anything but fear to look to. Nothing but fear. You got some family members, you got some family that's not saved. They've got nothing but fear to look to. You say, well, is your family saved? Well, they know about Jesus. Knowing about Jesus Christ will not save them. That won't save them. They can know all about Jesus. They can quote this Bible and not be saved. You got experience that Jesus Christ comes in your heart. Love of God can conquer fear, but, you know, it changes our relationship also. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. Mothers, did you love that child that you carried around before it was even born? Man, we don't know what it's all about, but mothers, you do. Did y'all love that child before it was born? But now you see us fathers, we know that we love our children. You know, they was a starting place that I started loving my three children. They were a starting place. When they was born, I knew, I see them, I loved them. But how about God? Jeremiah says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That means from horizon to horizon. Did you know there never was a time when God didn't love you? There was no starting place when God loved you before the world was ever formed. God loved you. Go back, your little mind, you just take your mind back as far as you want to go. And God steps out and says, I love you. Then you go into the future, through this life, through the judgment, out into eternity. God steps out and says, I love you. I love you. Never went a time when God did not love you. Never will be a time when God stops loving you. From the foundation of the world. What a love that is. Love changes our relationship to our Heavenly Father, but also it changes our relationship to our fellow man. And verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. That's what he says here. For he that loveth not his brother whom he have not seen, how can he love God who he have seen? How can he love God who he have not seen? See, it's a test. I told you this is a test. This is a test of love. People don't love their fellow man, don't love their brothers and sisters in Christ, and don't want to be around their brothers and sisters in Christ, what does the Bible say? Find out really if we really love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you're going to love the things that Jesus loved. I know there was a man that didn't like cats, hated cats, but he had a daughter that loved cats. Well, his daughter got sick and died. She had a little cat. You know what that man done with that little cat? He took that little cat and he took care of that little cat the rest of that cat's life. You know why? Because his daughter loved that little cat. And I'm going to tell you what his daughter loved, he loved. And I'm going to tell you, if you love Jesus Christ, whatever Jesus Christ loved, you're going to love. Because Jesus Christ loved it. Love God includes loving people. You see, that's what our visitation we have every Thursday at 7 o'clock is to go out and tell people that we love them and God loves them. If we could just let people know how much God loves them, that's the reason we have visitation. And we have this Saturday, Vacation Bible School. And what we have next week at Vacation Bible School is let the people and the children know that God loves them. That's what it's going to be about. If we fail to do that, we will fail at Vacation Bible School. We'll fail at preaching the Word of God. We'll fail at Sunday School if we don't allow people to know that God loves them. That's what we're here tonight for. When we leave this place, we need to go out and find someone to tell them that God loves them. Because they're waiting to hear from that. Because He do love them. He gave His life for the whole world, not just for you and I. And more people come to know Jesus Christ if they experience His love and they experience through you and I. God loved them. You say, well, I don't leave out not very lovable. He didn't say that. That old man didn't love that cat neither. But he learned to love that cat because his daughter loved that cat. You learn to love people because Jesus Christ loved people. You think missionaries go to foreign countries because they love the people? They don't even know them. Speak other different languages, sleep in huts on the floor, give up the whole family, go to missions. Why? Because they love the people? No, because they love Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ loved the people. And they just carry that love to them. So I hope that we understand that what we hear is a church should be an outreach arm of Jesus Christ to let this world know that Jesus Christ loves them so much. We thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. Make a good week this week. Invite somebody to be at church with us Sunday and be praying for them. And be here for visitation, especially our Vacation Bible School, as we carry out these flyers to different people that don't know Jesus Christ, or those maybe need some encouragement to be here and bring their kids.